Welcome to the Theory to Action podcast, where we examine the timeless treasures of wisdom from the great books in less time to help you take action immediately and ultimately to create and lead a flourishing life. Now, here's your host, David Kaiser.
Hello, I am David, and welcome back to another Mojo Minute. Just over the weekend, we saw another attack on Israel, this time directly from Iran, which in the past has usually played their game of war, if you want to call it that, from behind proxies throughout the Middle East, such as Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas. We learned this especially back in October of last year when Israel suffered their 9/11. But over the weekend, the AP reported this: booms and air raid sirens sounded across Israel early Sunday after Iran launched hundreds of drones, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles in an unprecedented revenge mission that pushed the Middle East closer to a region-wide war. Military spokesman said the launches numbered around 300, but 99% of them were intercepted. Again, that was an AP report. And of those 300 launches, 170 of them were drones. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari confirmed. Let's go back to the AP article to get some more context. The Iranian attack, less than 2 weeks after a suspected Israeli strike in Syria that killed two Iranian generals in an Iranian consular building, marked the first time Iran has launched a direct military assault on Israel, despite decades of enmity dating back to the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Condemnation from the United States, from the United Nations chief and others was swift, with France saying Iran is risking a potential military escalation, Britain chiming in with calling the attack reckless, and Germany saying Iran and its proxies, quote, must stop immediately. Hagari said the vast majority of the intercepts came outside Israel's borders, including 10 cruise missiles that were intercepted by warplanes. But let's stop and talk about these 170 drones and drone warfare in general. One of the most headline-grabbing moments in the history of drone warfare was the assassination of Osama bin Laden in 2011. While the final mission was carried out by Navy SEALs on the ground, drones played a crucial role in gathering intelligence and monitoring the compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. It was a vivid demonstration of how drones have become indispensable in the hunt for high-value targets. Now, the rise of ISIS further underscored the importance of drones. These unmanned marvels offered a way to combat a nimble and elusive enemy, conducting precise strikes in difficult-to-reach areas. Drones became the tool of choice for surveillance and targeting operations, altering the dynamics of counterterrorism efforts. And all this brings us to our book of the day. In fact, let's go to that book. It's Seth Frantzman's seminal work, The Drone Wars: Pioneers, Killing Machines, Artificial Intelligence, and the Battle of the Future. It was written in 2021. It was the first book I checked out just 2 weeks ago when I heard Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater and a former Navy SEAL, on his new podcast talk about how drone warfare was increasing dramatically in the war in Ukraine. And I thought this was most likely a monumental shift in the way warfare is conducted, similar to the way that air power changed the face of war in the mid-1930s. And then, obviously, the United States experienced that change up close and personal in the carrier-based aircraft of the Empire of Japan bombing Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. Now, you might remember this was not the first occurrence of that happening, that being how air power was changing the face of war. For example, take the British Royal Navy's daring attack on the Italian fleet at Taranto, Italy, on the night of November 11th and 12th, 1940. This operation, known as Operation Judgment, is a remarkable example of the kind of audacious and innovative thinking that has shaped military tactics throughout history. The Royal Navy launched Fairy Swordfish torpedo bombers from the aircraft carrier HMS Illustrious, targeting the Italian fleet anchored at Taranto. The results were astonishing. The raid crippled the Italian fleet at a cost of just 2 aircraft lost. This operation effectively halved the Italian battleship fleet's operational capacity and demonstrated the lethal capability of carrier-based aircraft that had never been done before. And here's the kicker. Many historians and military analysts believe that the success of the Taranto raid inspired the Japanese planning for the Pearl Harbor attack nearly a year later. Can you see the incredible chain reaction of learning and adaptation in military strategy? It's like each moment in history lays down a stepping stone for future actions. So now back to our book of the day, The Drone Wars by Seth Frantzman. I had come to Mosul because of a vow. It was here that ISIS proclaimed its caliphate in 2014 when it took over parts of Syria and Iraq and began a genocide of minority groups. On the road to Mosul, the deserted towns that had been home to Christians in the plains of Nineveh spoke to the depredations of ISIS. In Karach, the churches had been burned and used as bomb factories, their crosses torn down. In some villages, ISIS had turned each house into a small fortress, with tunnels underneath and walls blown open so their fighters could move from room to room without being seen from above by American drones. Now the Iraqi army was squeezing ISIS in Mosul. It had surrounded them in the city, some 60,000 Iraqi soldiers against 5,000 jihadists. In the fall of 2016, the Iraqi Special Forces of the Counterterrorism Service had fought street by street to push the enemy back. Now, in the spring of 2017, I was a journalist, embedded with Iraqi units tasked to clear western Mosul. The Mosul battle had been so horrid that whole units had lost columns of U.S.-supplied Humvees. We were next in the meat grinder that March. I'd vowed to go into the city with the Iraqis to be there when it was liberated. In a naive way, I thought it was like going into Berlin in 1945 to see justice done. The man with the boots, his thick black hair closely cropped, slung his Croatian VHS D2 rifle over his shoulder. The rifle had a bull pulp nose with a magazine behind the trigger. It looked a bit futuristic, and it fit the battle we were heading into. Since January of 2017, ISIS had increasingly been using drones to attack the Iraqi military. These drones were spotted almost every day. ISIS had built factories to convert civilian-use quadcopter drones, basically the kind you buy at a tech store, which have 4 little helicopter blades, into death from above. ISIS puts grenades and mortars on them and also use them to film attacks and conduct surveillance. There was no way to fight the drone threat. Soldiers had tried to spray gunfire into the air, but it was hard to shoot down a drone the size of a forearm from 100 yards away when it was moving. Some Iraqis and U.S.-led coalition forces tried jamming the drones. Bizarre-looking jammer guns that looked more like big toy squirt guns with an antenna on them were offered to the troops. The jamming was spotty, and soldiers, like the man with the boots, hadn't been trained to use them. So with the increase of drone attacks occurring all over the world from Ukraine to Israel, we should begin to keep our eyes peeled on the skies above, not to be paranoid, but to be aware of our surroundings. the impact of drone warfare on both the military and civilians cannot, I repeat, cannot be overstated. For soldiers, the psychological toll of operating drones remotely has been a subject of increasing study and concern. For civilians in conflict zones, and frankly in the United States with a very open border, the presence of drones overhead is a constant reminder of a looming threat of violence. Let's go back to the book. Drones are everywhere. In January 2020, mysterious drone formations appeared in Colorado, terrorizing farmers and leaving people fearful about what might come next. They might be lingering near a nuclear power plant, perhaps, posing a threat to millions. In the Middle East, the United States used a drone to kill Qasem Soleimani, a key Iranian commander, in 2020. Drones are transforming the battlefield from Syria to Azerbaijan, Libya to Yemen. For militaries and security agencies, the main users of drones, the UAV market is expanding as well. There were more than 20,000 military drones in use by 2020. Once the province of only a few high-tech militaries like the United States and Israel, drones are now being built in Turkey, China, Russia, and smaller countries like Taiwan may be joining the military drone market. It's big business, too. $96 billion will be spent on military drones between 2019 and 2029. Militaries may soon be spending more on drones than tanks, much as navies transitioned away from giant vulnerable battleships to more agile ships. Terrorists are using them too, buying civilian drones and putting grenades and bombs on them. This is a turning point in military history, like the jet propulsion revolution or the development of the rifle. So in today's Mojo Minute, know that as we continue to navigate these complexities of conflict in our 21st century, drones will undoubtedly play a pivotal role in shaping our approach to security, to ethics, and to international relations. Now, the sky's the limit, and the future of drone warfare is as promising as it is challenging. We should not shrink from these challenges, much like Israel has not shrinked, and they live in a very brutal, brutal neighborhood. Thank God for their defense capabilities. And I remember growing up when everyone made fun of Ronald Reagan and his Star Wars idea. Sounds like it was a good idea after all. Now together, let's keep our sights set on learning and improving and marching towards a world where innovation, especially with drones, paves the way for peace. And as always, let's keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this Theory to Action podcast. Be sure to check out our show page at teammojoacademy.com. where we have everything we discussed in this podcast, as well as other great resources. Until next time, keep getting your mojo on.
Are you a voracious reader who yearns for a deeper understanding of your favorite books? Or perhaps you're a busy professional seeking to enrich your knowledge, but short on time. The Mojo Academy 2.0 is your perfect solution. Our revamped service now includes beautifully designed monthly written reviews in PDF format to accompany our popular audio reviews. These aren't just summaries. These are comprehensive and insightful explorations of each book, packed with the actual quotes from the book, to enhance your understanding. With usually 6 to 9 pages per review, they are perfect reference tools to take your learning to the next level. Get your free Mojo Academy review in written format at teammojoacademy.com or click on today's show notes for that free link. Again, teammojoacademy.com or click on today's show notes, and you will see the link for the free written review. Get yours today.